Good morning. I'd like to welcome each of you here on this Sunday morning. I am Reverend Will Humphrey, and I'd like to begin with a real thank you. Thank you to Reverend Spain for offering this space to speak to people whom you care for. I know how I care about my congregation in the U.S. There's a lot of trust that goes on in sharing a pulpit, and so thank you. Thank you to this church. Thank you to Gavin for all of your help. I'm deeply honored to be here, so thank you. If you are joining us for the first time, like I am, we welcome you here. Visitors, I hope you feel a warm welcome. To each of us in this space, breathing the same air, we welcome you. We know that we are better for this shared experience together. If you're joining us online, we welcome you too. Although you might find yourself in some other space and some other time, we encourage you to find something sacred. And each of us here, even holding it in your mind's eye, imagine something sacred, some talisman of love, of belonging, of unconditional acceptance and awe. Hold that in your mind's eye. Hold it close to your bones. And let the winds blow upon your skin and through your hair. And this love, this wind that we experience, with this love close to us, we light our chalice. Reflecting the light from this chalice, I'd like to offer the words of the Sufi poet Rumi, translated by Coleman Barks. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows, who violently sweep your house, empty its furniture, and still treat every guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight, a dark thought, a shame, a malice. Meet them at the door laughing. Invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from the beyond. Coming together in this space, in this time, we offer ourselves to one another in community. We offer ourselves a respite with one another. We lit our chalice with the fire of community, the spark of life that comes from each of us. And each week, you bring yourself here, lighting the chalice as an inhale. And each week, we depart, taking yourself home, extinguishing our chalice as an exhale. Inhale and exhale. Each week you bring yourself here, your best self at the time, messy and perfectly imperfect. And each week you take yourself, your best self from here. This breathing of our church, this breathing of community, is the living church, the organism that we are. Each week, inhale in, and each week, exhale out. So bring yourself here today, your full self, as an inhale. This is the breath of the church. Will you pray with me? Creator, we pray for peace in all of its forms to find itself in our hearts and the world over. We pray for our actions to be such that bring peace into our human relationships, our relationships to one another, and our relationships to the ecosystem we find ourselves in. Let our anxieties and our anticipations, all of those things that never come to pass, let the hindsight that we get afterward play in an interchange of the now. Let this moment be a moment of peace. As we pray together and breathe together and love ever deeply. Amen. Our first hymn is number 66.
I'm going to read a poem about kindness. When I was a youthful radical, I thought the struggle against injustice was the most important thing in life, and I still think that. But increasingly, as I get older, I think that kindness is equally important. This is a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye, who's a Palestinian-American poet, and I think it was written in Colombia. Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop, the passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the threads of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread, only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend.
I have a children's story that I'd like to share. In a small town in the middle of nowhere, laughter and cheers intertwine. The wind is blowing. It could take place anywhere, any small town. The townships and the countryside. A local bus came by, honked its horn to allow the townspeople upon it. The bus was the only way to the city from the town. It's the only way out. There's one road that leads into this town, and that's the same road that leads out. Most of the townspeople did not have cars, and they walked most of the places other than riding this bus. The bus took the people to the city, and it would do a few rounds through the town before departing. Kids ran out of the school building to play. Amid the bustle of the kids playing, that persistent honk every few moments of the bus was there. And I was there, and I had no role. I wasn't a school teacher, though I spent most of my adulthood as a school teacher. I wasn't a school principal or headmaster, though I've spent about 10 years as one. I sat there on the green, watching, waiting for a colleague. And the kids were playing different games. A lively soccer game was going on. And there were onlookers too, kids set by the side of the pitch, rooting for their friends. One boy sat alone, his eyes fixed on the game. He seemed to cheer for everyone, both sides of the game. He sat there, a blue shirt, but he sat alone. He seemed to be unnoticed by others. He lingered on the sidelines a kind of a quiet figure. The teachers and the recess monitors were absorbed in their conversations, and most of the kids were playing, and this one boy sat alone. The honks of the town bus found a predictability, and without realizing it, I honked along. And then a few moments later, and I honked along again, and then heads turned. All eyes were upon me. The kids had noticed I was honking along with the bus. The soccer game was on some sort of break, and the kids that were there on the sidelines, all eyes upon me. And that's an odd feeling. Being an adult on a playground without any sort of role or purpose, just waiting on a colleague. The time was coming for another bus honk. So in good form, I put on my imaginary bus driver's cap, I grasped the wheel, and when it was time for the honk, I honked the horn, drove along. I stood up, and I drove the bus. I honked the horn and waved for kids to join. We rode the bus together, pretending and having fun. When I saw my colleague come out of the building, I tipped my hat to him, honked the horn, welcomed him, and then pulled the bus aside, passed my hat to the boy in the blue shirt, and the collective continued to play as long as I was there. The ethic. Let all of us take risk. Let all of us play and find connection. Let all of us have an open and playful mind. May it be so. Our next hymn is number 86, Blessed Spirit of My Life. Our second reading is Be Cool to the Pizza Dude by Sarah Adams from an excerpt from This I Believe, The Personal Philosophies of Remarkable Women and Men. If I have one operating philosophy on life, it's this: be cool to the pizza dude. It's good luck. Four principles to guide this philosophy. Principle one, coolness to the pizza delivery dude is a practice in humility and forgiveness. I let him cut me off in traffic. I let him safely hit the exit ramp from the left lane, to let him forget to use his blinker without extending any of my digits out the window toward or honking my horn. Sometimes I've become so certain of my ownership of the lane I'm driving in. How dare anyone challenge me? The pizza dude speeds by in his rusted car, his pizza light atop his car glowing like a beacon that reminds me to check myself as I flow through the world. After all, the pizza dude is delivering pizza to young and old, to families and singletons, to gays and straights and blacks and whites and browns, to rich and poor, vegetarians and meat lovers alike. As he journeys, I give safe passage. I practice restraint, show courtesy, and contain my anger. Principle two, coolness to the pizza delivery dude is a practice in empathy. Let's face it, we've all taken jobs just to have a job because some money is better than no money. I've held an assortment of these jobs and grateful for the paycheck that meant I didn't have to share my Cheerios with my cat. And the great pizza wheel of life, sometimes you're the hot bubbly cheese and sometimes you're the burnt crust. It's good to remember the fickle spinning of that wheel. Principle 3. Coolness to the pizza delivery dude is a practice and honor. It reminds me to honor honest work. Something about these dudes, they have never taken over a company. And as CEO artificially inflated the value of their stock or cashed out shares or brought their company to the brink of bankruptcy, resulting in 20,000 people to lose their jobs. Rather, the pizza dude, when they sleep only for the just. Principle 4. Coolness to the pizza delivery dude is a practice in equality. My measurement as a human being, my worth, is the pride I take in performing my job, any job, with the respect I show others. I am the equal of the world not because of the car I drive, the size of my TV, the weight I can bench press, or the calculus I can solve. I'm equal because I'm equal to all I meet because of the kindness in my heart. And it starts there with the pizza delivery dude. So tip him well, friends and brethren, for which you bestow freely and willingly. Let it bring all the happy luck to you and grateful to the universe. Let us pause for a moment of meditation. Take a deep breath in and exhale. Feel the shoes on our feet and the ground beneath us. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Let us have a moment of silence to reflect on our interconnection. Amen. There's something in you, in each of us, that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in other people. And if you can't hear it, then you're reduced by that much. If I were to ask you what you desire most in life, you might say a lot of things off the top of your head, most of which you wouldn't believe. But you would say them thinking that those are things that one ought to say or that I might want to hear. But if you were to be stripped down to whatever is literal and irreducible, your answer might be something like this. I want to feel that I am thoroughly and completely understood, so that now and then I can take my guard down and look around me and not feel that I'll be destroyed when my defenses are let down. Those are words of the Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. I want to feel that I'm thoroughly and completely understood, and I can take my guard down. Today's service is entitled The Whole Self with Welcome and Love. And that feeling, that urge to be completely vulnerable, completely exposed, but absolutely secure. It's an impossible contradiction. You can't feel secure without being protected, and you can't feel protected if you're not defended. And you can't be defended without your guard up, without being guarded. So that's a holy question, a sacred question in front of us. How can we welcome both the self that we project into the world and the self that we guard and we hide from the world? How do we welcome both selves? How do we love all of the sides of ourselves? How do we create a space that is brave enough for those whole worlds of the self to coincide? In this spirit, we face that mystery of life, the mystery of the soul's journey, the mystery of death, the ultimate question of who am I, both the guarded self and the projected self. We guard against pain, against hurt, and the core of guarding is we don't want to experience fear. We don't want to experience shame or disappointment or uncertainty. We create boundaries around these emotions because those are things we don't want to feel. And sometimes we use boundaries such as etiquette, how proper something is. Sometimes those boundaries are around our own authenticity. Sometimes we use social constructs, classes and races and ableism, etc. Sometimes these boundaries are within ourselves, in the mix of unspoken rules that we hold in our mind, the ought-tos and the impositions that we perpetuate. Welcoming our whole self can be scary. Welcoming our whole self exposes vulnerabilities. It can mean that I'm afraid. It could mean that I'm losing control. It can mean that I'm not able to do what I once did. It can mean that I'm afraid to put the love that I have into the world, or into myself, or into a relationship, out of fear that it'll only be returned with doubt or loneliness. I know in the U.S., Unitarians are a group of people who tend to intellectualize long before we allow ourselves to feel anything. Is that true for the dissenting church? Now, speaking for myself, I know that I intellectualize. I know that I listen to the words and actions categorically and I analyze them. And then I overanalyze them, and I prevent myself from getting swept away in the emotions. I have to work to allow my body and my mind to be in the same place, to feel these emotions, to let the intellect's guard down, and to be a whole self, to allow myself to observe love in others, to receive love from others, to love ever deeply. And that leads to the good news. The good news, the gospel of our global tradition. You're worthy of love. Not only are you good enough, but there is an inherent dignity. You have worth and are worthy. When we were breathed into existence, love was the flavor upon the holy breath, and it's woven into our skins and calcified into our bones. To deny that is to deny real reality. And sometimes it could feel like a dream. A dream that if I could just be free enough to let my guard down, I have to risk my safety. The impossible contradiction of having both of these woven into a moment. The vulnerability of it. The uncertainty of it. Being exposed means I have to actually say, I'm not Superman. I can't do it all. Dr. Brené Brown, the patron saint of vulnerability, says that vulnerability is the center of dark emotions and of difficult emotions, but the difficult emotions are the birthplace of every positive thing: love, belonging, joy, and empathy. And I think most of us would agree that our world has a serious empathy deficit. Brené Brown tells the story. A 14-year-old girl comes home from school. She comes home and the tears emerge. She goes on to say that no one sat with me at lunch and they made fun of my clothes. They made fun of my hair. What's our response? Well, if you'd wear the nice clothes I buy you instead of the slop you always wear, would it kill you to take 5 minutes and actually do your hair? Or do we say, that's so hard? We chant our inner 14-year-old with butterflies in our stomach and sweaty palms and empathize and say, that's hard, tell me about it. Or maybe we channel the best version of grandparents ever. Oh, I'm sorry, come in, sit down. I'll put the kettle on and you'll tell me all about it. And I'll listen right to you. Or do we normalize it? That happened to me when I was your age too. That happened to me last week. It's hard. You're not alone. I'm with you. If you can't feel secure without being protected, and you can't feel protected without being defended, and you can't be defended without being guarded, vulnerability takes down those walls. It offers protection. It weathers the storm. I'm not Superman. And Superman is a great example. Superman has his strengths and his weaknesses. Kryptonite might come to mind. In Superman issue number 662, Lois Lane gets injured. She's in critical condition. Superman is seen there holding her hand, confessing his love for her, revealing the emotional toll of her injury upon him. This moment is significant because it shows his humanity. It shows the depth of his feelings. Superman is vulnerable. And I don't think the Superman did a risk analysis. Do I risk everything I hold in order to experience something deeper like love? I don't think he did that. Now, I know I don't have it all together. None of us have it all together. There are so many things that I am uncertain of. And it's okay. We don't have to have all the answers. I'll put the kettle on, and you'll tell me all about it. Actually, I think somebody has the kettle on. We'll have coffee and tea after the service, and we can connect, all of us. I'm not Superman, and we don't have to pretend. At the center of all of our difficult emotions is the birthplace of every positive one: love, belonging, joy, and empathy. How do you push through the difficult times? How do you coach yourself through it? What is your self-talk? When you've had a rough day, what do you say to yourself? Do you say things to yourself you might never say to another person? A scathing self-critique, insensitive to yourself, dismissing the hard day? Or do you soothe, mentor yourself? You'll get through this yet. Slow down and breathe. You can do it. You can do anything. You're amazing. This commitment requires a willingness to embrace the risk, to live beyond disappointment, to look beyond our own short-sightedness, to empathize with ourselves, with our parents, with our children, with our neighbors, to create space to allow that whole self, the liberation of the whole self, the integration of that secretly hid self and the one we project out. At the start of the service, I asked you to think of a talisman of love in your mind's eye. And take a moment and feel that love. Does it help to hold on to connection? Can it help foster belonging and joy and empathy and awe? Can it be there with you as you take the risk to help welcome in your whole self? Love is the fundamental building block of community. It's what it means to be a member of a church. It lets us to take the risk. It lets us to love ever more truly with our authentic and whole self. In a moment, I'll stop preaching now, and we'll get on to the most holy of endeavors, to share ourselves, because somebody has the kettle on, a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and a listening ear. Let us love ever more deeply. Maybe so. Our next hymn is Spirit of Life, 123.
Thank you. Our notices today. So as Will has said a few times, please do join us for tea and coffee downstairs, and please grab a copy of July's Uskald on your way down. I'm on tea and coffee, and I'm sorry I wasn't down beforehand. It was kind of busy up here, but I will be down to help, I promise. Thank you to everyone who's contributed to today's service, particularly Reverend Will Humphrey, and I believe you and Leah are celebrating your 20th wedding anniversary. And you came to Ireland to do it, so I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay. Thank you. So to everyone who prepared the church, to the Conways, thank you. Ayla and Dennis did a lot of work this morning, and all the Conways contributed this morning, so thank you. Thank you to Josh, everyone who welcomed us, read for us, the coffee and tea makers downstairs. You have to go downstairs for the tea and coffee. The Lectio Divina, or Sacred Reading Workshops, will begin this Tuesday evening, the 16th of July, from 7:30 to 9. So it'll be here in the church. And we will continue every Tuesday until at least the 6th of August. So do join in along the way if you can't make next Tuesday. We do hope you can attend all of the sessions, but if you can't, that's fine. That's fine. You're more than welcome. And the Wednesday meditation led by Pam is here in the church. It begins at 1 p.m. and finishes at 1:30, a quiet and inspiring time in the middle of your week. Thank you.
I think our final hymn is 346. Wow, that was beautiful. That was just beautiful. Our departing blessing begins with the words of Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because the world needs people who have come alive. So the blessing to you, to each of us. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Live. Be alive, loving ever more deeply. In love's holy name, amen.